Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the main event. In the brown tunic, standing at 5 feet, 8 inches tall, weighing in at 155 pounds, the son of Isaac, the grandson of Abraham, hailing from Haran. He's known to be a little shy, but a whole lot sly, Jacob the Conniver. In the white tunic, standing at 6 feet tall, weighing 200 pounds, hailing from upper city of Zion, known for the strong right arm bar, Jehovah Jiu-Jitsu, hip joint submissions, and a double divine grip, the angel of God. It's time. Are you ready to rumble? No, we're not at a UFC event. But we do want to learn some lessons from late night wrestling. We will step into the pages of God's Word and there be confronted with a rather agonizing encounter between Jacob and God, or an angel from God, as we will see. And I believe that we probably have some folks here this morning that you may be wrestling with God a bit, or wrestling with man. We find that about Jacob. He was known for wrestling with God and wrestling with men. So I believe there's some things the Lord wants to say to us through His Word that can help us to live more victoriously, to prevail, to overcome, and as Jacob ultimately did, to experience the fullness of what God has for our lives. Now, we're going to be stepping into the 32nd chapter of Genesis and reading a few verses together there. But please allow me to take just a few moments to develop some context for you in the event that might be needed. Abraham is known to be the father of faith, if you will. You and I, as believers, we are blessed with believing Abraham. God made a promise to him that he kept, and you and I are enjoying the results of that today as believers. Abraham had a son, Isaac. Isaac had two sons, Esau and Jacob. And interestingly, we find out that Jacob started out as a wrestler. Isaac and Rebekah had been married 20 years. She was barren. They were unable to have a child. So the Lord blessed them, and her womb was opened, and she was able to conceive. And as she grew in her pregnancy, she knew something was wrong. It was like there was this tumult and upheaval within her. So she went to inquire of the Lord about what's happening. You know, this seems very unusual. And the Lord spoke to her and told her this. He said, in your womb, there are two nations. One will be stronger than the other. And the older will serve the younger. Now, that's interesting because the divine order, you see through Scripture, is the firstborn gets the blessing. And so she got this before she had birth. Obviously, the Word indicated there were two children in her. But when the day came, she started having a baby. She started having babies because she birthed the first child, a son. He came out. He had hair. That little guy had hair all over him. She named him Harry. In the Hebrew, that's Esau. Not H-A-R-R-Y, H-A-I-R-Y. He had hair all over him. And then following right literally on his heel, the Bible says, if you read Hosea chapter 12, that Jacob reached out and grabbed his brother by the heel. And so, even in the womb, Esau and Jacob were wrestling. And even when Esau got out of there, Jacob was still coming after him. You just see the nature of things there in their birth. Well, as they grew up, and the Bible tells us some things about them. It tells us that Esau was a skilled hunter. You deer hunters, Esau, he was a great hunter. He worked in the field. He was your consummate outdoorsman, a man's man. And he often would go kill game, bring them to his father Isaac. And he would, yum, yum, he would love eating wild game. We're told that Jacob was more of a mama's boy. He would stay in the tent. He would help with the cooking. And the Bible says, in contrast to Esau, his skin was really smooth. So it doesn't seem like they were identical twins. They were twins, but not maybe identical twins. So one was stronger in the physical. Esau apparently was very much stronger than Jacob. But in other ways, Jacob prevailed. So interestingly, one day Esau comes in from the field. He's been working hard. He's hungry. And Jacob cooked up some stew. He smells it. Esau does. He's wanting some stew. Well, Jacob could have said, well, brother, you've been working hard to help the family. Here, here's some stew. But we're going to find out even his name Jacob, the root word for Jacob, has the idea of one's heel. And it's because he grabbed his brother by the heel when he was born. But that came to be known, to have somebody by the heel is the idea of sneaking up behind them, catching them off guard, beguiling them, being sneaky, being a deceiver, being a trickster, being a manipulator, being a schemer. And you can check those boxes when it comes to Jacob. He was that kind of guy. His brother's hungry, and so this is his moment. He uses that for leverage. You're hungry, huh? You like, doesn't this stew smell good? Yeah, I want some. I tell you what, here's what we'll do. I'll give you stew if you'll give me your birthright. What's the birthright? Well, the firstborn son gets the birthright. Also gets the father's blessing ultimately. And it got a bigger inheritance and so forth. It was a big deal. But see, the book of Hebrews in the New Testament, in describing Esau, gives us more insight into the kind of guy he was. He's called a profane person. He was rather indifferent about his birthright. He didn't really count it a big deal or much of a thing. He didn't attach much honor to it. Now, later he changed his mind. He was really upset when he didn't get it. But in a moment of impulse, he sold his birthright to his brother for a morsel of stew. Yes, his brother leveraged him, schemed him, and got it. But he got it nonetheless. Well, as they grew older and came to the point where Isaac's getting older and he's getting close to dying, his vision is dim, another story unfolds for us. Isaac tells Esau, son, I'd love to have some venison. I'm paraphrasing. Go out and kill me something. I love wild game. Come back, cook me up a meal, serve me, and then I'll be ready to lay my hands on you and I'm going to bless you. Talking about giving that blessing to the firstborn. So he hits the field. He goes hunting. Well, Mama Rebecca, now I need to step in and tell you something. This was a very dysfunctional family. The Bible tells us that Isaac loved Esau, that Esau was his favorite. The Bible tells us that. And the Bible tells us that Rebecca, the mother, loved Jacob. He was her favorite. Anytime you start showing favoritism to children, you probably are going to end up in some kind of wrestling match, right? And even the kids will fight amongst themselves about stuff. All of us have been kids, so we all understand this. And so that dynamic was going on in the house. Well, Rebecca hears Isaac tell Esau, I'm going to give you the blessing, go kill me something and fix it and I'll bless you. She goes to her favorite son, Jacob, the one with the smooth skin, and says, Jacob, do this. Go to the herd, get two young goats, kids, bring them back, I'm going to fix up a good meal. You're going to serve it to your daddy. I'm going to put some lambskin on you so that he'll think you're Esau. I'm going to put Esau's clothes on you. And you go in, you serve it to him, and you'll get his blessing. Now, isn't it interesting? The Lord had told her when she was pregnant that the older would serve the younger. But still, you see a little scheming going on here. I'll let you sort all that out. That's not what this message is about. But it happens. I counted at least 7 ways that Jacob lied, deceived, connived, and to get his brother's blessing from the father. He goes in. I'm here with your Sue. Who are you? I'm Esau. Well, you sound like Jacob. Because Isaac couldn't see well. And he gave him his stew, and he said, come here. And he felt him, and he felt that lambskin. He thought it was the hair on his arms. Well, okay, Esau. But he's still not sure, and he says, come here. And grabs him up close, smells him, and he smells Esau's clothes. When he smelled Esau's clothes, he said, oh, it smells like a fresh field. And the Lord's blessing you, you're going to be like a field. And he goes on and gives him the blessing. He's just blessed Jacob, thinking he's Esau. Well, he can undo that, right? Well, in Bible days, when somebody said something, it was their bond. So Esau later comes in. He's killed some game. He's cooked it. He's going in to get his blessing. And he finds out his brother has connived his dad, cheated him out of his blessing. And now he is so enraged with anger. He says, well, I'm going to mourn my dad. I'm going to let when my dad goes, I'm killing Jacob. Well, Mama hears about this. And she packs up Jacob's stuff and she sends him to Laban. He heads towards Laban and he sleeps overnight on the way, puts his head on a rock, has a dream. He sees heaven open and angels going up and down a ladder from heaven to earth. He wakes up and he says, oh my goodness, I slept in a place. God was here. I didn't even realize he was here and he's here. Surely this is the house of God. He called the place Bethel, which means house of God. He said, surely this is the gate of heaven. This is a place of revelation where angels are ministering. And then Jacob tells him, Lord, if you will bring me back safely to this land and back to my family, I will serve you. This is when Jacob had his personal encounter with God. He goes on to Laban's house. And he begins working for Uncle Laban. And he ends up seeing Rachel right off the bat. And that was one of Laban's daughters. Oh, he loved her. And Laban finally says, well, you don't need to work for nothing. What can I give you? He said, I'll tell you what, I want Rachel. I'll work for you 7 years if I can marry her. Well, he's going to find out Laban's a trickster too. So he works for 7 years. They have the wedding. And the wedding night, Jacob goes in to spend the night, honeymoon night with Rachel. And he wakes up the next morning and rolls over and, oh, it's Leah! His dad, Laban, her dad, has now pulled a switcheroo-ski on him, just like he had pulled a switcheroo-ski on Esau. And he's so upset, he said, you agreed. He said, well, you know I can't let my second daughter marry before my first daughter does. I'll tell you what I'll do. You spend a week with Leah, and I'll go ahead and I'll give you Rachel too. It's like he gets two for the price of one. No, he doesn't. He says, but then you'll work for me another 7 years. And so he does that. And after 14 years, he's got his two wives. And across these years, he ends up having 11 sons by 4 women. Leah and Rachel, his wife, and then their servant, Zilpah and Bilhah. And so the 11 later, Benjamin's born later after he goes back. But ultimately, those 12 tribes are from 4 different mothers. And so he ends up staying there 20 years. And then he gets a word from the Lord. A bunch of stuff happens. We won't go into that. And he's going to be heading back home. The Lord tells him it's time to go back home. Well, now he's got to deal with that brother he cheated. He's going back home. And things aren't right. And on the way, after he tells the Lord, okay, I'm going. And after he starts going back home, you know what? This is so powerful to me. The first thing that happens to him is, the first place they stop, a company of angels, plural, show up where he is. Angels. You remember that when he's encountering God, he saw angels ascending and descending? Well, he calls that place one of those Bible names, but there was a company of angels. And then he moves on, and he's going to go back home, you know, to Bethel, back beyond that, to where Isaac and Rebekah, his mom, and Esau. He's headed back that way. Well, on the way, he sends a messenger to tell Esau, "Your servant Jacob," yeah, the one that connived him, that deceived him, "your servant Jacob is coming." And he comes back and says, "Did you talk to Esau?" "Yes, I did." "What did he say?" "Well, he said he's coming this way, and he's got 400 men with him." Now, all of a sudden, he's filled with terror. The Lord told him if he'd go back, all would be well. But now he hears Esau. Last thing he heard out of Esau's lips, "I'm going to kill you, brother. You're a dead man. You're a dead man. When daddy dies, you're gone." You know, he got words about that. Now he's headed back to meet with that guy. And now he hears, not only is he headed back, but now, since he knows he's coming, he's headed toward him to meet him with 400 men. So he is filled with terror. Now he gets him another plan. He says, "I'm going to divide my people up into two companies. And if he attacks the first one, the second one can flee." And he's just struggling with what to do. And then he comes up with a bigger plan. And so he does this. I'm about finished getting the context, but this is important. He says, "Okay, calls his servants in," and I'm giving you the skinny, the short version of the skinny. Here we go. He says, "Okay, servant, I want you to take 200 female goats and 20 rams, which is male goats, 200 female and 20 rams, that's 220. I want you to take these 220 goats and head toward Esau. And you're going to meet him, and as he comes through the herds, when he gets to you, and he says, 'What are all these?' you're going to tell him, 'Your servant Jacob is sending these to you as a gift to you.'" All right? But that wasn't all. Then he called some other servants. He said, "Okay, now, I want you to get 200 ewes, which are female sheep, and 20 rams." So now you got 220 sheep. He said, "And I want you to follow that first drove, and you're going to be behind them. And then when Esau comes through those and gets to you and says, 'What are these?' you tell him, 'They are a gift to you from your servant Jacob.'" Rinse and repeat. He tells another one, I want you to get 30 camels with their foals, 30 mama camels with little ones, and I want you to do them and tell Esau they're his gift. And then I want you to get 40 cows and 20 bulls. And the next group, they're going to take those. These are your gift. And then I want you to get 20 donkeys with 10 foals and present those to him." There's like 590 animals that he is gifting Esau with. And he says, I'm paraphrasing, "Maybe this will soften him up so he will receive me." So that's the setting. And the last thing we're told, he is about, even before he meets Esau, he's going to send his wife and kids ahead. In other words, he's putting everybody between him and Esau. We're going to pick up now with the scripture. Genesis 32, verse 22. "And he arose that night and took his two wives, his two female servants," that's Zilpah and Bilhah, "and his 11 sons," Benjamin has not been born yet, "his 11 sons, and crossed over the ford of Jabbok. He took them, sent them over the brook, and sent over what he had." In other words, all those cattle, all those servants and everything. "Then Jacob was left alone. And a man," notice the capital M there, "and a man wrestled with him until the breaking of day." Now, when he saw that he did not prevail against him, that is, this man that's wrestling Jacob, he touched the socket of his hip. And the socket of Jacob's hip was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, "Let me go, for the day breaks." This is the angel. But he said, Jacob said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me. So he said to him, what is your name? He said, Jacob. And he said, your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel. For you have struggled with God and with men and have prevailed. Then Jacob asked, saying, tell me your name, I pray. And he said, why is it that you ask about my name? And he blessed him there. So Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. He got his word right there. He knew, yeah, I know for sure it's going to be all right now. My life will be preserved. Verse 31. Just as he crossed over Peniel, the sun rose on him, and he limped on his hip. Therefore, to this day, the children of Israel do not eat the muscle that shrank, which is on the hip socket, because he touched the socket of Jacob's hip in the muscle that shrank. That's quite a move, wasn't it? So we're going to talk about some lessons out of this passage, and I'm going to share those with you. But two things to keep in mind as we look at these lessons. Number one, Jacob basically had let go of everything. He was there alone. And very often, the breakthroughs that we really seek come when we get alone with God and get in dirt with Him and wrestle through it and get honest. Okay? Second thing is, this fight was fixed. No man can really put up much of a fight with God. But see, God wanted to engage Jacob in this wrestling match, if you will. He had a purpose in it. Just like some of the struggles we go through, there can be a purpose in it. Some of the things that show up when life is at its darkest and we feel the most alone, that we have to struggle through, fight through, we find and discover something about God we didn't know and about ourselves we didn't know. So let's jump in now. First lesson that I want to share with you out of this is that we need to hold on to someone who, you need to hold on to someone who you can trust to hold on to you. You need to hold on to someone that you can trust to hold on to you. Now, on the human level, we know what this is like. When you stand in a marriage altar, that's part of what's going on. You know, better or worse, sickness or health, you know, till death do us part. In other words, you're committing yourself to someone who's committing themselves to you. There's a trust there that we're going to go through this together. And it's very difficult if both people aren't keeping that covenant. But sometimes in our lives, we are in struggles and we are in situations that we have to have a help beyond the human level. The someone that you need to hold on to, that you can trust to hold on to you, that someone is God. Now, in the scripture, it says he wrestled with a man. In Hosea chapter 12, you can make the reference here, verses 3 and 4, we are told that Jacob, he struggled with God. He wrestled with an angel, and he prevailed with God. He wrestled with an angel. And he wept and cried out for God's favor, and he got blessed. So there's kind of three different perspectives. When Jacob encountered him, he looked like a man. But see, somewhere in the midst of this struggle, Jacob became aware, wait a minute, this is not a man I'm struggling with. This is the Lord. Why? Because I'm not going to let him go until he blesses me. Now, I've been in a few fights in my younger days, and my face remembers them. But, you know, when you're in a fight, it's usually not, I'm going to keep pounding on you until you bless me. I mean, when you're asking someone to bless you, you're recognizing they have something you need that only they can give you. And so he becomes aware, this is a wrestling match with God, and we know that Because when it's over, when you ask him his name, he doesn't tell him his name, but he calls the place Peniel, which means face of God. As far as Jacob was concerned, he had gone mano, you know, in this wrestling match with God himself. And later we're told in Hosea that I believe it was like an angel of the Lord that was sent. You can work all that out, but it was the divine wrestling with the human. The divine in human form, potentially even a Christophany or something like that, which means a manifestation of Jesus in the Old Testament. And so, but the point is here, God had encountered, this was a God encounter. Now, I've had some God encounters that felt like you've been in a wrestling match when it's over. But I mean, this is, I believe they're rolling in the dirt. They're going for it. Jacob refused to let go. When he became aware it was the Lord, he wasn't going to let go of him until he got blessed. And sometimes you're struggling with stuff that you and the people that love you most cannot help you with. They can pray for you. But you need to be sure you're holding on to someone that you can trust to hold on to you. No matter come what may, they're going to be there and they're going to see you through. And the Lord Himself has given you His Word. He will never leave you and He will never forsake you. He will, faithful is He who has called you, who also will do it. He said, listen, it's like He's saying, I'm getting down in the dirt with you, and I'll fight with you through this, and when it's all said and done, I'm going to work it together for good in your life. That's what God does. This is where the rubber meets the road. You know, if you're looking for a storm-free, trouble-free, trial-free life, you're not going to find it in this one. But the life you're really looking for, you will discover when you decide you're going to hold on to the one you can trust to hold on to you. I love the way Paul says it in Philippians chapter 3. He said, letting go, forgetting those things which are past, I press toward the mark of the high call of God in Christ Jesus to lay hold of that which He has laid hold of for me. It's in our relationship with Jesus Christ that we find and discover everything we need to keep us secure, everything we need to keep us settled, everything we need to keep us stable, everything we need to establish us, everything we need. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall have no lack. My God shall supply all my need according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus. He is faithful. So we have to learn to hold on to Him. He is faithful even when we are not. And when you take hold of Him, listen, He's already got a hold of you. Jesus said that in John 10, that, you know, He said, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and I give them eternal life. And no man can pluck them out of my Father's hand. The Father which gave them me is greater than all. He said, no man can pluck them out of my hand. The Father which gave them me is greater than all. No one can pluck him out of my Father's hand. That's that double divine grip. God has a hold of you, believer. Don't you let go of Him. You hold on to the one who's holding on to you. And this is important for us to understand because this is what helps you through the dark times when you feel so alone and you feel forsaken, though you're not. That's your faith that reminds you know He is here. It's your faith that gives you the strength that you don't have. It'll be your faith and trust in Him as you cling to Him where you will break through into the dawn of day and the blessing will be waiting on you there. The second lesson, you must trust someone who is bigger than anyone or anything that may come against you. Now, Jacob had already been through some struggles in his life, whether with his brother and Laban. The Bible tells us on two occasions, Jacob testifies, I worked for Laban and 10 times he changed my wages. You can read the story about how Laban, after he worked 7 years for his two daughters, he says, "I'll tell you what, you keep working for me, and I'll give you some of I'll keep blessing you. I'll give you some sheep." And Jacob told him, "Well, I'll take the speckled ones, or I'll take the streaked ones, or I'll take the brown ones." And the Lord, by revelation, gave him a strategy of how to cause those goats to reproduce in a way that he'd get most of the offspring. And Laban would switch it on him. And then he would just take the word God gave him and cause them to start producing. Whatever time he got to keep, that's what they birthed. Because the favor of God was on him. You see, God had told Abraham, he said, "I'm going to bless those that bless you, and I'm going to curse those that curse you." He told Isaac that same thing. And the day that Isaac put his hands on Jacob and gave him that blessing, and God met him at Bethel, he got that same word, "I will bless those that bless you, and I will curse those that curse you." So when he showed up at Laban's house, Laban didn't have a chance. Every way he tried to steal and connive from Jacob, God's favor just caused him to be blessed. You see, we need to realize that we've got to put our trust in the one who is bigger and greater and more powerful than anyone or anything we will ever run into. We are blessed with believing Abraham. Our covenant is based on better promises than the covenant that they had in the old covenant. So, I would encourage you, you need to, as you walk with God and you hold on to Him and you trust Him, you need to expect to be blessed. Our trust is in God. He is a covenant-keeping, promise-keeping God. So maybe you're facing a mountain this morning, a giant, a problem, a situation, a circumstance, and you're like, how am I going to make it through this? How am I going to overcome this? How am I going to prevail? Same way Jacob did. You hold on to God knowing He's going to hold on to you. And you trust that He's bigger and stronger and more powerful than anything you will ever face. God had been faithful to Jacob over those 20 years, even though at times Jacob wasn't faithful to Him. Third lesson. You need someone who's willing to hurt you to help you. Yeah, chew on that one a moment. Is this something I'm supposed to pray for, Pastor? No, but we all need someone who's willing to hurt us in order to help us. See, this angel struggled with Jacob through the night and couldn't get Jacob to let go, and he touched his hip joint and threw his hip out of joint. That was painful for him. When he got up, he walked away with that limp, right? There are times in our life when we're struggling, going through things, that we need someone who's willing, if need be, to hurt us in order that we might get the help we need. Now, I need to give a disclaimer here. I am not talking about someone who hurts you because they've been hurt. That's a totally different thing. I'm not talking about someone who wounds you because they've been wounded. I'm not talking about someone who's got their own agenda, their own purpose and so forth, that they hurt you in order to get what they want. I'm talking about somebody that loves you enough that they're willing to risk that your heart might be turned away from them temporarily, but you love them enough to risk that. Whom the Father loves, He chastens. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Jesus is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. I remember several years ago, this has been a number of years ago, I had three different brothers that I met with every week at McDonald's, and we would meet and just share life and hold each other accountable. And it was really a blessing to us. And one day, one of those brothers and I, we were going somewhere, some kind of ministry thing, and we were on the way and we were just talking, And I said something. I forget what it was. It wasn't like something way out of line, but something had a little edge on it. And he just looked at me and said, "Brother, you shouldn't say what you just said. That's not good. That's not right." And you know, as soon as he said that, I was quickened. I was convicted. And I said, "You're so right." Here I am caught up in this conversation. "You are so right. Thank you. Thank you for being willing to rebuke me for that." But see, we had that kind of relationship. We were tight. We were close. And I knew he loved me. I knew he'd lay his life down for me. So we need those kind of, just like that angel when the Lord was struggling. Even though it hurt Jacob, in order to bring this thing to an end, for he could get up and do what he needed to do, he threw his hip out of joint. It's just like there was a time stamp on it. Now, like I told you, this fight was already fixed. I mean, the book of Revelation tells us that God is going to send an angel someday. An angel going to grab Satan and chunk him into a bottomless pit for 1,000 years. You think he had trouble dealing with Jacob? That fight wasn't about who was the strongest. That fight was fixed. That fight was about getting Jacob into a struggle with himself to see what he needed to see, to let go of what he needed to let go of, so that he could end up where he needed to end up. And sometimes God loves us enough to disturb our life, to upset our apple cart, to create discomfort in our life. If that touches your theology, just go read the book a little bit more. You see it from kibber to kibber, as the old timer says, cover to cover, from the book of Genesis all the way through the maps at the end of the Bible. You see these examples where God can use hardship. God can even use our mistakes to produce in us righteousness, integrity, humility, sincerity. You need someone who's willing to get in your grill, if need be, in order to help you. And most of the times we have to work through that. I'd encourage you to pray through it, really go to prayer, take it before the Lord. And whatever's from the Lord, the Lord will agree with that. I mean, that makes sense. But we help each other in this way. I'm about to celebrate my 45th year with somebody the Lord uses often to do that for me. And I outweigh her by a spell. Next, when you hold on to God, this is the last one, when you hold on to God through your struggles, you get a deeper revelation of your true identity. You see, Jacob was the one wrestling at the beginning of this wrestling match. But Israel's the one who stood up at the end. You see, the Lord confronted Jacob. It's like in this wrestling match, the agony of it, he's wringing out of the man, the Jacob, so that the Israel can shine forth. Jacob means conniver, schemer, trickster, deceiver, the heel grabber. You know, sneaky, sneaky. But now he's going to be a prince with God. Somebody with ruling authority. And we honor his name today. Every one of us sitting in this room right now, listen, if you're a believer in this room right now, you are living evidence that God kept his promise to Jacob. Every believer in this room is living evidence that God kept his word to Jacob. When you hold on to God through your struggles, you get a deeper revelation of your true identity. All those years of scheming, you see, when Jacob, his hips thrown out, and the angel's gone, and he stands up. Now he's going to cross that brook of Jabbok. He's limping. He crosses that brook. He's going to go and meet up with the rest of them. You can just see him kind of heading that way. There's Jacob. Jacob, what happened to you? I just got blessed. Didn't he? He just got blessed. I'm not going to let you go till you bless me. Threw his hip out. He walked with a limp, but he got blessed. He stood up with the assurance everything was going to be all right with his brother. He went back. He met Esau. He says, "No, I don't need all these gifts." And Jacob said, "No, they are yours. I want you to have them." So Esau took them. And then Esau said, come home with me, brother. And Jacob basically says, "No, you go on. You know, we're all tired. It's going to take us a while to get there with all these animals. You go back." And as far as we know, I don't think Jacob ever made it back with Esau. But they met and they reconciled and they went to their prospective ways. Later, the descendants of Esau would become some of the greatest enemies to the Israelites, the Edomites. But here, God required that Jacob face his fear. Last week we saw Elijah running from Jezebel in fear away from where he is supposed to be. Today we saw Jacob running in fear away from where he is supposed to be. But at the end, we're seeing Jacob now limp back, facing his fear, limping back to where he was supposed to be. He had met with God. He got a deeper revelation of who God was. He got a deeper revelation of who he was. And as new covenant believers, sometimes if we face them right, the struggles of life that we go through, maybe you're struggling in your marriage here today, or your finances, or your health. It can be a thousand different types of wrestling matches. But you just hold on to God through all of it. And what happens is, when you come out of the darkness into the dawn, you're going to have I guarantee you will have a greater appreciation for God, a deeper understanding of Him, and you'll also have a deeper understanding of what it means to be a believer, to be a Christian, because you've been tried in the fire. And what the Bible says, that the trying of our faith, that's what was on trial here for Jacob, the trying of our faith is much more precious than silver and gold that perishes. You see, what Jacob got in that wrestling match was so much more valuable than all those goats, all those sheep, all those camels, all those cattle, all those donkeys, and so forth. So much more valuable than that. He had the favor of God on his life. You see, and God wants to wring the Jacob out of us. In other words, we've got to learn to quit being shrewd and sneaky and start being submissive. We don't have to get things through our cleverness. We can get them through God working on our behalf. We have to learn to shift away from being manipulative to being submissive to our Master. And He can take care of it. We have to quit trying to take things by force and just rest in His favor. Because the Bible says He will open doors that no man can shut. And He can shut doors that no man can open. You see, when you hold on to God through your struggles, you get a deeper revelation of who you are. You don't have to get things by being sneaky and sly and shrewd and a trickster, or by force or manipulation or trying to make things happen. God opens doors. A man's gift makes a way for him. And we see that here. Jacob sent all those gifts ahead, and ultimately Esau received them. But every one of those gifts coming toward him said, "Jacob's wanting you to know that he's wanting to bless you, that he's wanting things to be good." And you know, the truth of the matter is, again, all those goats, all those sheep, all those camels, all those cattle, all those donkeys. You know what they were? They were God's blessing on Jacob's life. They were the fruit of God's favor upon him. And I believe when Jacob got up, he had already sent all those gifts ahead. He knew in his heart, it's not those things that are really going to make this work. It's just God's favor on my life. God's favor. We are blessed because our blessed Lord Jesus Christ is from the root of Jesse, Dave, the Davidic family line that can be traced back to the tribe of Judah. And Judah was the fourth son of the firstborn daughter of Laban, Leah. He was the fourth son. And out of Jacob's loins came the seed that became the seed that became the seed that became the seed that became the seed of the lineage of the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. The God who kept that promise will keep His promise to you. It may be dark. You may be feeling weak and alone. You may feel like I've given everything I've got and it's still not working. I'm sure Jacob felt that way to a sense. But if God be for you, who can be against you? What can separate you from the Father's love? His favor. Jesus came and declared, this is the year of the favor of the Lord. He inaugurated an age of jubilee for those who come to Him, where our debts are canceled, our sins are forgiven, and His favor rests upon our life. I want you to stand with me this morning. And it could be that you're tired of struggling. You're tired of wrestling. And maybe you feel like you've been fighting God Himself. Listen, surrender. Submit. You hold on to God, but we're willing to let go of anything else or everything else He tells you to. And you will find Him to be faithful for you. And Father God, I pray right now across this room, Your sweet Holy Spirit would move upon hearts and move upon lives. I pray in the name of Jesus, Lord, that those who are struggling, that just, I pray Your love would make its way through that struggle just to reassure people that You are present. I pray that the anointing of the Holy Ghost would just move into the midst of that struggle and begin to release grace and strength into every struggling soul in the room right now. I pray, dear Father, in the name of Jesus, that this would be a time when burdens are laid down at Your feet, that this would be a time when bondages are broken. If you are here this morning and you've never given your life to Jesus Christ, I encourage you to do that. How do I do that, preacher? The Bible says if you'll confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart God has raised Him from the dead, He'll save you. He says, whosoever calls on My name, I'll save them. Romans 10:13. Make that your prayer right now. Give all that you know of yourself to all that you understand of Him. Just say, dear Lord Jesus, I believe You died on the cross for me. Just pray that and tell Him that. If that's your desire this morning. I believe that You were buried and God raised You from the dead. And I confess You right now. Jesus, You are Lord. Save me. Save me, Lord Jesus. Just simplify. Save me, Lord Jesus. See, when you humble yourself and you call upon Him, He, through His Holy Spirit, places His Spirit inside of you and seals you, gives you the gift of eternal life, forgives you of your sin, and His peace comes to live in your heart. His Spirit will now bear witness with your spirit that He is present. You need to receive that by faith. I encourage you to share that with someone. Maybe if a friend invited you, share that with them. You can do that right now. I'm asking our prayer team members to come up and be here. You can come and share with them and they will pray with you. Take that card out of the back of the seat in front of you. Fill it out. There's a box that says, I gave my life to Christ. Or maybe you need to recommit your life. Or you have a desire to be baptized. Let us know. And we will get in touch with you. But this time is a time of ministry when we are here to pray with you. And I encourage you to come. Let someone up here take you by the hand and agree in prayer with you for whatever your need is. We are family. We're just folks here. We all have times when we struggle. We all have battles that we have to fight. And we're here for one another. We want to pray with you now. We believe that two of us agree and touch in any one thing. Jesus is there. He begins working. Right then, right there. And you'll discover when you finally get your breakthrough that God arrived ahead of you and He's got things set up better than you could have ever dreamed. He just does those kinds of things. So Holy Spirit, have your way in this audience right now. We're going to begin to worship. I encourage you to step out from where you are right now and come to the front. Whatever your spiritual need may be, we are here to pray for you. Salvation, healing, freedom, burden, you come. A menorah type of thing where the oil and the lamp is burning. And I feel the Lord saying that in this season it's been dark for you, the heaviness of heart and the loss of your mom, that you have kept your oil full and your light bright. You've trimmed your wick, so to speak. And the Lord just wants to encourage you today that He's heard your prayers. And don't doubt the effectiveness of your prayers. He knows the time you spend praying and the time you spend decreeing God's word, just the scriptures. And I just think He wanted me to publicly speak blessing over you today. So I pray that He strengthens you in the inner person. I pray you go from strength to strength, from faith to faith, and from glory to glory. And I pray that He will give you the garment of praise for that spirit of heaviness, that the God of all comfort, in a way beyond what He's done heretofore, would wrap His loving arms around you. And some of those sisters hear you. Begin to do that right now. If you just raise your hand, some sisters come around Dana right now and just begin to bless her and encourage her. The Lord just wanted to highlight you this morning that His comfort would fill your heart. You be encouraged. Your labors are not in vain in the Lord. Your prayers are not prayed in vain. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And there's a, I don't think I know the couple back beyond there. Sir, you've got glasses and the two of you there. I don't think we may have met. I'm not sure, but as I was praying for her, I just feel like the Lord wants to encourage you this morning. It's like an oxen pulling ox cart, and it's like the cart's turned over, and that there's been like you've carried a burden, and something happened. It was painful, but when that rolled out, that's a picture of what the Lord wants to do, is to bring blessing. I just see a flourishing in your life, a springing up in your life of some unseen things, some unseen hurts. It's not like anything you've caused, but it's more than just happened. And the Lord just wanted to encourage you today to visit with you and bless you. And there's a scripture that out of Isaiah that says that you will run and not grow weary, you'll walk and not faint, and that He'll renew you as the eagle. That passage, that I feel like that's being highlighted for you this morning, just to be, as I pray for her, to be strengthened in a similar way, because there is a strength that the two of you carry together. It's like those oxen as they're yoked together. I preached on that a Wednesday night or so ago, but there's a strength that I see in you, even in your prayers. Again, I'm feeling a highlighting on the power of the prayers of agreement, and it encourages you to press in it even deeper in agreeing together specifically for those things that are on your heart. And I believe you're going to step into a season where you begin to see things, prayer answered. It's just like, oh my goodness, we just prayed that just happened. It's not always like that. I am saying you're about to step into a season when you're going to see more of that happening. So I encourage you, I feel like the Lord is going to give you specific scriptures. Is there going to be like arrows that you string in a bow that you're going to begin to fire as you pray them? And they're going to strike the mark, and there's going to be some beautiful and wonderful things happen. And I feel like a blessing on that related to family. And so I hope that makes sense to you. And I just release that to you in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. There's others who may need to come and pray. I encourage you to do that right now. Just to come and receive what the Lord has for you. He wants to bless you. He wants to help you. He wants to strengthen you. You hold on Him. You put your faith in Him. Don't let go. Don't let go of Him. Press in. Prevail. Jacob was a prevailer. I encourage you to prevail. I encourage you to prevail. I encourage you to prevail. I encourage you to prevail in the name of Jesus. Just step into that. Just step into that. There's a dear lady back here dressed in red, a beautiful Christmas jacket on back there with the white collar. I don't know if we met or not, but I'm just drawn to pray for you. And if that'd be all right if I do that. And Lord, I just pray for this dear lady. I pray that you would bless her, Lord. I just pray that your hand would come upon her now. And Lord, I pray that I hear and I see it's like there's two different women that have been talking, and pain has come upon your life. And I don't feel like that's just necessarily a real recent thing. But it's like you got pulled into a swirl with that, and it's like almost like you were thrown into a barbed wire fence, that kind of thing, where there was some pain. And I just speak healing oil over your heart, that there were some things that, like some things the Lord was doing that was started, and it's like it got put in pause mode. But the Lord said, even this day, that He is recultivating, and He is reassembling, and He is bringing things together to bring life back to the dream that was in your heart. And you're going to see reparation, you're going to see restoration, you're going to see reconciliation. And the place that was formerly a place of pain, the Lord says, watch my oil be poured in, and watch my joy spring forth, that the place of pain will become the spring of joy. And I just declare that over you in the name of Jesus today. In the name of Jesus today. While I was praying for you, I started getting a lot of pain here in the ribcage area on the right side. I don't know if that related to you, but I wanted to start with you. Does that mean anything to you? Have you been having any kind of difficulty in this area? Anyone back in this area? Because I was getting that really strong. It's like basically a lung issue, rib pain kind of thing here on the right side. Anyone over here? I'll start over here. Anyone having pain in this area? What about in the room? I want to pray for you right now. Anyone, just lift up your hand in the name of Jesus. I see two different people. I just speak healing right now in the name of Jesus over these sisters. Lord, I pray that all pain be vanquished in the name of Jesus, that they would lift off to you now and you would pray in the name of Jesus. I just speak healing. And if you're aware of the two women I'm talking about, I would not be surprised if that does not relate to one of them as well. And I would encourage you that that there will be blessing for you to pray over that person for that in Jesus' name as well. In Jesus' name as well. Are there others who need to come? Let's lift our hands together. Father God, we thank you this morning. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for your Holy Spirit. We thank you in the name of Jesus, Lord. And we do love your presence, Lord. We love your presence. And Lord, there's sometimes like Jacob, we walk away with a limp, but we know we've been blessed. We thank you for how you bring good things out of bad times. We thank you, Lord, We thank you where you can make barren places fruitful places. We thank you that you can cause the things to bud forth and spring forth in desolate places. We thank you for that anointing that brings life and power and resurrection. We thank you, Lord, for encounters with you that surprise us when you spring things on us like you did Jacob. May this be a house that's full of God's surprises. May this be a house filled with testimonies of victory on the other side of struggle. May this be an oasis where the weary, where the tired can come and be rejuvenated and restored and blessed. So go forth from this house today with a message of hope, with a message of victory, with the word of the Lord in your heart and the word of the Lord in your mouth and the word of God holding you strong to his promises. Be blessed and be a blessing. Go and change the world in Jesus' name.